And welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say? Father John, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure.
We are recording this episode.
What time is this aired?
This will be aired at 12:30. But today we are finishing up with the Fifth Commandment. If you have missed our conversations the last couple of weeks on the first two-thirds, I guess you could say, of the Fifth Commandment, you can always pick them up on our website, armorofgodradio.com. We've got them all the current episodes are now posted in there. They should be downloadable. I've checked. I've had other people check. But if you run into a problem, of course, you can always shoot me an email, tom@armorofgodradio.com, tom@armorofgodradio.com, or give me a call, send me a text, 254-371-7566. Okay, so Father, we covered, you know, the big part with euthanasia and the death penalty and abortion and suicide, and I'm kind of glossing over some things.
But I understand.
We're kind of, and for those of you that are following along here in your catechism, we're kind of pick up here in section 2, paragraph 2284, which is on page 551 in my catechism, but 2284 is the paragraph that we'll pick up here with respect for the dignity of persons. And again, we're not going to be able to, time does not permit us to hit every little aspect of this.
And you could spend a whole semester
on just this commandment alone. And frankly, we could probably just spend a whole semester just on paragraph 2297 and 2298, but we'll get there on those two. So the first part that the catechism talks about here is scandal. Mm-hmm. And we hear this word, I think this is one of those words in our Catholic dictionary, if you will, that gets thrown around a lot. And really, I'm not sure we all have a really good working definition of the word scandal.
Yeah, so scandal.
So let's start there.
Scandal comes from a scandalo, or in Spanish is scandal, but it's a Greek word that just means roadblock or stumbling block. Mm. When we get in people's way of their journey to Christ or their relationship with Him, we've just put a stumbling block between them. That's what we call the scandal, you know, that happened in 02 and 18. You hear about the abusive priests. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to think, oh, you know, people understand priests are human and we're still going to go to church and have a relationship with Christ. No, no, it emotionally scars them. These are people we looked up to. Now I'm not sure I believe in it. These supposed to be holy. They're not holy. They weren't disciplined. And what happens is their faith in Christ, their relationship with Christ, now has a stumbling block between it. Mm. You know, I don't know if you ever read or seen, you know, I took American literature in college, and it's horrible. You know, the kind of American, we had to read, you know, what is that? Streetcar Named Desire. Oh, it's awful. And we read, have you ever read Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, that was horrible.
Horrible.
Book.
But what another one was.
Somebody's going to be offended.
That
I'm
was
sorry,
boring. That was not just boring, but depressing was Death of a Salesman.
Yeah.
I remember watching that, and we read it first, and then we watched it at Dustin Hoffman. It's about a guy, salesman, who has two sons, and they adore him.
Mm-hmm.
One son adores him. And he's real popular because he goes to sell things, and he's away on business. And I don't know if you remember the scene in the play. The older son surprises his dad at a hotel when dad is away on business. And he comes in, and there's a prostitute comes out of the bathroom.
Mm.
And the boy is devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Devastated that his dad, who he looked up to, who loved his mom, they had a great family, and he sees his dad as a jerk and is paying for a prostitute. Mm-hmm. He sits down and he just gives in to despair.
Mm.
His whole world. And the rest of the play, rest of the movie is his dad and him, you know, in their problems.
Right.
He was scandalized.
Yeah.
He lost all hope in manhood. His own father let him down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could think, okay, his dad is a sinner. You know, it happens. Mm-hmm. Wrong. It takes their hope away. So that's a long answer to what scandal is.
But that really kind of highlights the whole the thought process behind and the why we say that sin affects an entire community.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next part of the catechism kind of gets into where I think we'll really kind of dig into some of this, where we talk about scientific research and respect for, I'm sorry, I skipped a part. We talk about health.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I'm just looking through this, and I've read the catechism cover to cover like three times, mm-hmm. and I don't remember some of this. Concern for health requires society help us to attain the living conditions that allow them to grow and mature, reach maturity, food, clothing, housing, health care, basic education. But, 2289, this is one I like. If morality requires respect for life of the body, it does not make it an absolute value. It rejects a neo-pagan notion that tends to promote the cult of the body, mm-hmm. to sacrifice everything for its sake, to idolize physical perfection and the success at sports. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. So, I tell you how I was scandalized. When I was a boy, we used to watch professional wrestling and bodybuilding. And I love watching them. We used to get the bodybuilding and the wrestling magazines. I had posters on my wall of Andre the Giant and Dick the Bruiser and
the Von Erichs.
Oh, all of them we had, and we'd go and see them. Yeah. You know, Gino Hernandez, the handsome half breed.
Oh yeah,
Jake the Snake. But I also knew who you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and mm-hmm. Franco. But I also knew who were the other guys, Coleman. And I only find out tonight they're all dying from steroid use and you know, and Rich Piana. I don't know if you know who that guy is. Mm-hmm. He's a big, huge guy. What they sacrificed to look good, to idolize. And we're talking about multiple types of steroids. Yeah. You know, people, you remember Lance Armstrong?
Oh, yeah.
So if you ever look at his story, he was not just taking steroids. He had a whole team of doctors that were working with him, taking out his blood, injecting oxygen into it and back into his body. Sacrifice for idolized physical and the success at sports. We have an epidemic of this.
Especially in America.
We fight this on a daily basis in this church. We have confirmation retreats, confirmation classes. Oh, Father, but we play select.
Yeah.
My daughter's on select soccer. My son, unbelievable. My 10-year-old plays select baseball. We take, and they're not going to mass. Well, we're in select softball every weekend. What a scandal.
Yeah.
What are you teaching them? Well, your daughter's not going to be a professional softball player. Yeah. I'm not sure there is such a thing. keep going. By its selective preference of the strong over the weak, such a conception can lead to the perversion of human relationships.
That's it. Yeah.
My goodness. A perversion. Go ahead.
No, this also covers things like plastic surgery and
enhancements.
And we'll get into a little bodily integrity here in a little bit as well. But all those kinds of things where, and it's sad, you see some of these people on the interwebs that have had so many things done to them.
They look horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to have a woman who has a double mastectomy and she wants to look normal. That's what medicine is supposed to do, help you look normal. Mm-hmm. But then you have these celebrities who've had so much plastic surgery on their face, they're all pulled up tight, they're all pulled up Botox, they look ridiculous.
Cartoonish.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And you know who had an addiction to plastic surgery? Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Total addiction. He used to go in to plastic surgery, and they wouldn't do anything to him. They would just fake it. Mm. I saw that on one of his documentaries.
Wow.
And they would just tell him that they did it because they couldn't do any more. Mm-hmm. His nose was completely collapsed.
Yeah.
His skin, everything, his eyes.
But then the next part of this section gets into
2290?
Yeah.
Heavy.
91.
Hmm? Go ahead and read it.
So 2290 starts with the virtue of temperance.
Temperance.
And disposes us to avoid every kind of excess, food, alcohol, tobacco, medicine. That list could go on ad nauseum, but I think we're talking about the things that – and this is not – I like to have, you know, a double Whopper on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not, I don't like Whoppers, but that's just an example.
Double meat with double cheese.
But it's not what good is for you.
None of this stuff, food, alcohol, tobacco, medicine, those are all good. It's not the use of them. It's the abuse of them.
Right.
Once you start to abuse them, nothing in moderation, it's always bad.
Yeah.
Always. My grandfather smoked 4 packs of Winston Kings a day. That takes work.
Yeah.
That takes work. I live with a guy, I talk about food. I live with a guy who was 5'4 and weighed 330.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And a lot of them, you know, what an addict, alcohol, tobacco, medicine, what an addict wants. First of all, they want to be alone with their addiction. And I'll tell you this, I don't care if it gets me in trouble behind this. All addicts have one thing in common, many things, but this is one of the things in common. They're all liars.
Hmm.
They're all liars. Even if you catch them in the act of chugging down a bottle of whiskey. No, I didn't do it. It was just one time. I messed up. It was just one time. You know, if someone gets pulled over for DWI twice in a month, do you know what the odds of drinking and getting pulled over for DWI is? 1,000 to 1. That's the odds. For you to get multiple DWIs, that means you're drinking and driving constantly.
Constantly, yeah.
Constantly. And that's, you know, even says here, those incur grave guilt by drunkenness or love of speed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me when I was 18, 19. Endanger their own and others' safety on the road, at sea, or in the air. So we were taught basically, if someone says, you know, Father, bless me, Father, for I've sinned, I got drunk. We were taught to ask him, did you get behind the wheel? Because that raises the gravity. Now you're putting me in danger.
Exactly.
You're putting my family. You have no right. This is Dr. Phil. You have no right to put me or my family in danger by getting on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that all leads into the respect for bodily integrity, skipping all the way over to 2297, and we're going to get
we're going to get
into a can of worms here now.
Big old can of worms, yeah.
Because this is a hot, this is a
and
hot
we have
button
to,
issue right
it's
now.
It's our duty to stand up.
And we have to. We must put it in. We must. And the paragraph starts with kidnapping and hostages and terrorism and torture. And of course, I think
most people,
99.9% of people in the world, I would venture to guess, would say, "Yep, those are all bad things."
We shouldn't be terror. No, terrorism is wrong.
Yeah,
taking a hostage, kidnapping. No, we don't.
We shouldn't do this. But then the paragraph ends, and I'm skipping to kind of to the last sentence of paragraph 2297, except when performed for strict therapeutic medical reasons. That exemption is very, very important. Directly intended amputations, mutilations, and sterilizations performed on innocent persons are against the moral law.
Wow.
There could be nothing more clear than that.
We should put that out on a sign somewhere.
Right?
Putting that out on a sign, because no one would have thought 20 years ago that someone could walk into most places here and say, hey, I'm really a woman. Go ahead and cut off my testicles. Any doctor would know who took the a Hippocratic Oath, I am not doing that.
Yeah.
Wrong. Not only do they have to do it some places, government will pay for it. In California and in the Army, except until recently, taxpayer money paid for people to take their knives and just start slicing away, pumping people. And in Austin, in the Kind Clinic, you can get injections of what is men's chemicals? What is that?
Testosterone
and estrogen. You can get both.
Yeah.
And you can give. I've never given myself an injection ever.
No.
We have some families here who have children living with them. Now, they may be 17, 18. They can't even stop it. They get these packages in, and they go in their room, and they inject themselves with testosterone. And you know what that does to a woman's body? It is unbelievable. We know what it does to a man's body, too.
Yeah.
It is absolutely dangerous, unethical, but it's been so ingrained in wokeness, and because people are tied to, I think it all goes back to, you know, people think, here's my theory. Here's my outside theory. Right? Yeah. Why have people said it's okay, transgenderism, we should support them? Well, they know that if we people know now that's wrong. But if that's wrong, then homosexuality might be wrong. Yeah. If we start to challenge that, homosexuality might be wrong. Contraception might be wrong. And if we start to challenge that, then we'll have to look at abortion. We know is wrong. But I don't think that's even the middle. Once we start to challenge that, how horrific we take that away, then what's the core? What do leftists and secularists want? Sex without consequences. Yep. That's what they want. Sex without consequences, because it's Gnostic, because they believe that we're just ghosts in the machine.
Yep.
Just my body, my choice.
I'm going to turn into dust when I.
It doesn't matter. Don't tell me what I can do in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And this is when the world most needs the Catholic Church.
Amen.
You know, during the sexual revolution, let's just go ahead and admit it.
Yep.
During the sexual revolution in the 60s and 70s, when the world needed the church, I think we failed them.
Oh, absolutely.
When Paul VI came down with Humanae Vitae and just reaffirmed what Costa Canubi said in 1930, what happened? Did all the bishops and priests stand up and say yes and champion this? Well, go with your conscience. Mm-hmm. And that's when the floodgates and the goat was under, the camel was under.
Nose under the tent, yeah.
And that all was started back in 1930 with the Anglican Church.
Yeah.
Once that, then dominoes fell, and we failed not only the world, we failed our own people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I just said Mass for a bunch of ladies at the nursing home. They're all in their 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, they're all bragging about, I come from a family of 12. I come from one lady. She's 85. She's the eldest of 18 children.
Wow.
I come from a family of 8. I said, whatever happened? We have all these big families, and then all of you had what, 2?
Yeah.
They said, well, it's because of economics, you know. And I said, weren't people poorer then?
Yeah.
I said, all of them had like 2 or 3. I said, wasn't it because you were contracepting? Silence. And one lady said, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All of you started contracepting, didn't you? And it's a scandal.
I saw an article, and I need to go back and find the source of it. I saw an article, it's been a couple weeks ago, where it talked about, there were 4 critical charts in this article, and it talked about at instances where God was taken out of the classrooms.
Mm.
And it was focusing just on education aspects. And the impact, the long-term impact of that. And you see on each of these 4 charts, and they were... And maybe somebody can help me out with this, but it was crime rate. It was instances of single family households, abortions, and
divorces.
Divorces, yes.
Yeah.
And so in the early part of up to 1960, in the early part of the 1900s, it was just kind of this little steady squiggly line,
and
hovering at about the 10 to 12% percentile mark. And then 1960 comes, and it's this Rocky Mountain climb.
Unbelievable. Up. Sexual revolution.
Yep.
And then LBJ's war on poverty, contraception, all of it just came, and they were devastated.
And LBJ is a big hero here in Central Texas, and I'm sorry, folks.
Let's not anymore. He's not.
Peel back the onion and look at what the
and we have to admit that the many in the church, I used to teach in a Catholic school in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you right now what some of the brothers and sisters said. They said, we don't think there should be prayer in public schools either. And they were against vouchers. I said, you guys are complicit.
Yeah.
They're complicit. You could have stood up and said, spoke up for the poor. Mm-hmm. You know, we had poor kids going to PS 123.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they called them. Public school 123, which was a ghetto school.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying at the time. This was 30 years ago now. At the time, it cost $10,000 to go to a public. That's how much each kid cost.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they can go to our school for $1,500,
mm-hmm.
but they can't afford that $1,500. That is absolutely unjust.
Yeah.
But there, many of them, many of the politicians, even Catholic politicians at the time, They were complicit. When the church needed us more, we have a chance. But I will say this, Tom. The church is in a unique place right now.
Yeah.
A really unique. How so? Because the secular world is starting to question all this contraception. And all those people who are like, we draw the line at transgender. No, it's not okay to castrate these boys and these girls. That's not okay. Oh, now it's starting to, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And they're looking at birth rates. Maybe, what did Jordan Peterson say? Maybe those damn Catholics were right all along when it came to contraception. And he's not Catholic. I'm not even sure he's Christian.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he is either.
All of a sudden, we're in a unique place here because of social media. People can investigate themselves. Mm-hmm. They can investigate themselves and go, we have been taught a bunch of hoo-ha.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a unique place because, I will tell you right now, mainline Protestantism is dying.
Yeah.
It is dying. And many of them jumped on the bandwagon of wokeness and all that other stuff. We're in a unique place, to offer them what we're reading here in the Catechism, a historic, deep, rich tradition that does have a philosophical and theological tradition, but also accepts science. Mm. Faith is not in fear of reason.
Yeah.
And when it comes to these issues, science is on our side.
Amen.
Whenever science is on our, they just are blocked. And people are like, maybe just like Jordan Peterson, maybe these damn Catholics had it right all along. We're not going, hey, the Catechism says, the church says, these old celibate guys.
Yeah.
No, science is confirming even when it comes to what we were talking about before, periodic fasting, that's the new rage.
Yeah.
We've had that for 2,000 years. The monks have known this for decades. For decades, for centuries.
Centuries, yeah.
For centuries. We have known this. And that's why we are in a unique place. We're a unique place across the world.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of, cultural Catholics, they're going to dry off. But young people, just come to our church or any church, we have these young families. Mm-hmm. They're all wearing veils. They all have a bunch of Chia kids.
Mm-hmm.
They want marriage and family. And fathers are starting to bond up. So like I said, we're in a unique place now.
It's interesting.
It is.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity for all of us. We got about 5 minutes left here,
goodness.
and I want to finish up. I want to finish up this commandment. And so maybe we'll just kind of close here with this last piece of respect for the dead. And this is kind of, I hear this question a lot, actually, on the radio and on the call-in shows, where people will say, hey, my grandmother was a faithful Catholic, and we couldn't afford to put her in a box in a cemetery, and so
is it okay
we
if
had
we
her
have
cremated, and she's sitting on the mantle.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have done a terrible job with that. That's one of the corporate works of mercy. Bury the dead. Mm-hmm. They have a right. But you're right, we have people that walk around with, they split up the ashes and they put them in little vials and they carry around. So we have to tell people, that's a dead, somebody brought somebody's ashes to my office once and put it on the, listen, I've had these for a long time, Father, what can I do with them? I said, is there a dead body on my desk? Oh, no, she's cremated. Is there a dead body? If you chopped her up, would that be okay?
Yeah.
Well, no. If you chopped her up real small pieces, is that okay? But you burned her, and this is her remains. They sometimes, it's, again, because it doesn't look like a body.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say.
It doesn't look like a body anymore. Therefore, it's okay for us to just throw it outside, put it outside in the yard, take it to the Longhorn or Dallas football field and scatter me out there. Or Kyle Field and scatter me out there. This is somebody's, who was rise from the dead. This is somebody's body. It's sacred. We do that with animals. Again, sterilizations and putting people down. Go ahead.
But the ashes, I think, and this is a critical point. It's not because we don't want them sprinkled all over Kyle Field, or not because we don't want them sprinkled all over, thrown in the ocean or whatever. It's because the church teaches us that at some point in time, the Lord is going to resurrect all of us and assume our bodies
Yeah.
Into heaven and to join with our souls.
Yeah, and it sends a message that this is just junk. Yeah. Yeah. This is not sacred.
And it's not to say that he can't go collect all those pieces of ashes, and that's not what I'm saying. But it's the respect for the body that we hope at some point in time will be rejoined with our soul in the beatific vision.
But in their heart, they know if he wasn't, or Grandpa wasn't cremated, that if we just throw his body out on a field somewhere, that's gross, disrespectful. We said, exactly. Mm-hmm. And just because it's a different state, just because it doesn't look like Grandpa, that's not okay. But people, it doesn't look like it. We treat the dead disrespectfully because we see them as their bodies as just Grandma's not there anymore. That was just a shell.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. Grandma was a body. She's gonna get her body back, and you've just now desecrated her body.
It's okay to cremate a loved one.
It is.
And it is perfectly fine, but that those cremated remains must be treated the same as the remains that are in a casket.
Due respect to their humanity, they're made in the image and likeness of God. All this goes back to that.
Amen.
Person, made in the image and likeness of God. Rover, he's not.
Yeah. Folks, that's going to wrap us up here on the fifth commandment and on this episode of What Would Father Say? This was a big one. And the rest are not lightweights by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it just gets better.
It does get better. And again, if you missed some or all of this episode, we'll rebroadcast with encore presentation on Sundays at 12:30. Or, of course, you can always go to our website, armorofgodradio.com, and you can hear the whole series all over, and you can download, listen, take it with you everywhere. Father, would you leave us with a blessing, please?
Let's invoke the Blessed Trinity. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Father.